Hello, everybody, and welcome to Third Rail Talk, Minnesota Real News Citizen Media. In this episode, episode 4, we're going to talk about one of the worst scandals ever in the history of the state of Minnesota and, in fact, in the United States. The scandal has to do with fraud in the Department of Human Services daycare system. Our guest for this discussion is Michelle Evan. She is an activist and has been recognized as one of the most active citizens here in the last several months, helping bring this issue to the forefront. Michelle, welcome to the Third Rail Talk podcast. Pleasure to have you. And I'm just going to jump right in and ask you a little bit more about your activism this year. You were recognized as one of Minnesota's most active activists, or was it the activist of the year recognition that you were just given recently?
Well, I was awarded top activist, and I don't think I was awarded activist of the year because I think that was another award, but top activist from Action for Liberty. They acknowledged me, that group did. That came about. We were heavily involved with trying to get Keith Ellison not elected. And so we were on the overpasses with those 4x8 signs, trying to educate people about Keith Ellison and his abuse.
Yeah, that was quite some operation. I have to tell you, people in Minnesota, conservative women and probably even men in Minnesota, are not used to. They just don't quite get the whole protest thing, it seems to me. But you guys went out there, you stuck your necks out, and I don't believe it was for nothing. It's important to have people like yourself who will actually take it to the streets and take it to the square and raise those signs and make some noise, because that is part of liberty. It's part of freedom in a society. And you're one of the best examples how this is actually done. So thanks for that. Well, the midterm elections may have passed, but the problems remain when it comes to the daycare fraud investigation. And there's so much unfinished business. In fact, there's an information blackout going on. There's legislative impotence, seems to me, and present in a lot of legislators. Tell us a little bit more about, from your perspective as an activist, as a citizen who's been out there trying to raise awareness, what's going on with this terrible mess, and what can be done to make things better?
Okay. Just a brief backup here is, George, we started working on this child care fraud back last year when that report came out from Fox. And our first protest was down at the Attorney General's office. And we had a really great citizen turnout for that event. And we stood in Lori Swanson's office all afternoon, or a couple hours, waiting for her. Of course, she didn't come out, but she sent her surrogates out to fill us with a bunch of baloney. And then our next step was to go over to the DHS, where we did a protest over there. And again, we had a really good turnout. A lot of people showed up to support that protest. So we've been working on this for a while, and things did get kind of quiet. I know that last year at the end of the session, they brought out a bill, House File 4519, to try to push this through to get legislation regarding the CCAP program, and that, of course, at the last minute didn't pass. But so yesterday, I was made aware that there was an event, a subcommittee was being held. I saw that email last week, and looking at it, I wasn't that interested in it because the agenda looked pretty boring, to tell you the truth. It was about payouts for the CCAP program, so I wasn't that interested. But I had a friend reach out to me, and she said, I'm going, and I said, I'll go along. And when I got there, Scott Stillman walked into the room and Carolyn Hamm. And then I started looking at the agenda, the published agenda, and I almost had a heart attack.
All right, so let's just sum up quickly what this is about for the people that are just becoming aware of this problem. So really what's happening here is we have a massive amounts of fraud in terms of daycare centers billing the state for children that are not going to these daycare centers. And so basically these are fake daycare centers that are overbilling the state, after which money is being stuffed in suitcases and shipped out of the country to places like Somalia. This has been what the whistleblower, Scott Stillman, as you mentioned, has brought up to our attention, and the Department of Human Services seems to be blatantly denying. Is this a good way to kind of sum it up?
Pretty much. And the interesting thing, too, yesterday when Carolyn Hamm was giving her testimony is she denied that Scott Stillman worked for the DHS, and she didn't clarify what that meant. I don't know. He clearly had an office there, I'm assuming, but she was very adamant that Scott Stillman did not work for the DHS or at the DHS. And several times she didn't even acknowledge him by his name. She always has this habit of calling him a different name, which I think is, you know, really to get at him.
Yeah, I think that she has really mastered the act of acting like she doesn't know who Scott Stillman is. She was doing this already back in July when you met with her, you and other citizens, and she was just basically acting like, who is this again? What whistleblower? And we have this on video. But from what I understand from you now, she's still doing this.
She's still doing it. Yesterday she said his name, Scott Stillman, one time, but every other time she said someone else's, she called him something else, Scott Workman or something. I don't know. It was really kind of ugly on her part.
So it seems like the Department of Human Services is in total denial about this whole thing. They're denying knowing him or that he ever worked. They're denying also what the size of the fraud is.
Right. They pressed her for a number, the $100 million, and she wouldn't acknowledge that. She believes that, from what I could gather from her, that she believes it's less than that. She won't give a number, but she is pretty adamant that it's not that much money.
Yeah, except there's only one problem for Carolyn Hamm and the entire Department of Human Services mafia. It's not just Scott Stillman. First of all, Scott Stillman looks and sounds like a very reasonable, solid individual who is bringing to us a very trustworthy story and evidence. And secondarily, all kinds of other agencies have already gotten involved. And I don't understand how possibly the Department of Human Services could be in denial of this.
Yes, the Office of OLA, Office of Legislative Auditor, they are currently conducting their investigation. They were due to have it out in November, and now it's coming out in January. And then there was another group that was doing some type of investigation down there. It's a nonprofit professional organization called the MFIA. It's the Minnesota Fraud Investigators Association. I had no idea that this group was doing any type of work down there. And so that was a complete surprise yesterday that two investigators, these are previous law enforcement agents, were doing this investigation. My question, I want to know who hired them. Were they hired? Did the legislators hire them? That was really unclear yesterday.
Well, a lot of things remain completely unclear when it comes to the DHS and the way they've handled this. For example, one of the things that was not clear was she mentioned that they have closed down 16 daycare centers as a result of the raids that were done and as a result of the work that actually Scott Stillman did, the whistleblowing that he did. But it's not clear who are these 16 centers, and not much is known about that.
Yes. Carolyn Hamm's arrogance and attitude yesterday was sickening. It was absolutely sickening to sit there and watch her, especially after Scott Stillman gave his testimony, which I just felt like it was a kick in the gut. And I actually started tearing up a little bit because I felt so much sadness and anger and rage about what's happening and the fact that this man is going through hell. And he's also stated that other people over at the DHS are going through hell too. But, you know, as a taxpayer, I am so frustrated with how our government treats us. And it just makes me crazy to think about this. They don't care that my money is being dumped into these programs and these programs are being ripped off and no one's willing to do anything about it. And I'm just at my rope's end now. Something has to change.
I have to tell you, as bad as the audio was on the video coming from the hearing, I watched Mr. Stillman's testimony, which I agree was very powerful. And then I listened to and watched Carolyn Hamm. And this is not to hate on anybody, but I was indignant. She was just I'm above the law. I'm above everything. I'm untouchable. That's her attitude. She was just so, she came off as just really arrogant and haughty.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like she didn't, Carolyn Hamm was arrogant. I felt like right away when she brought up her PowerPoint that maybe she reviewed it for about 5 minutes before she had to give the presentation. And once again, you know, the DHS is throwing this general BS, sorry for that. Their reports are absolutely nothing. The information they give us is garbage. They, in fact, don't even know their own data, nothing. They can't even come up with their own statistics on anything because they work in silos over there. Nobody wants to communicate with each other. Everyone's afraid of losing their job. Nobody wants to tell anyone what they've got going on. And so their numbers never, I've requested information from them so many times, and they just send out the same general information that everyone else gets. I've requested, I've said, you know, I want a report. I want to know today how many people are on the CCAP program. Just can you run a number for me right today? They can't even do that. I mean, it's not possible for them to do something like this. So she has her PowerPoint up and she's kind of like fumbling through it a little bit. And then when it was time for questions and answers, I felt she was getting a little bit hostile towards the end. She wasn't appreciating the questions that were being asked.
Yeah, looks and sounds like the swamp, right? So while I'm speaking here with you, I'm looking at the website of the House of Representatives, and there's a menu on the very bottom, who represents you? And there's like a little link, I imagine. You can click on it, and it'll take you to find out who represents you. So let me ask you, Michelle, how represented do you feel?
That's so funny. Not at all. Not at all. I've been down there. I've talked to representatives. They don't want to talk to us. They don't want to be bothered with us. They want us to go away. They don't want to be checked on. They want to go down there and do whatever it is they want to do. And I would say there's less than a handful of representatives down there who are actually representing the people of the state. They're all down there with their own agendas. I think Kurt Dowd is down there and he's manipulating legislators, and we're not represented. We're not represented at all.
All right, let's just give some perspective here, because some people may think, well, you guys are just so harsh on these poor government people. You're just so harsh on them. But the reality is that Minnesota is leading the nation in terms of fraud. This is just so unacceptable. This is probably one of the largest ever welfare fraud cases in the history, not only of Minnesota, but the United States as well. And when you have that going on, I think it would take a totally different approach, not just being Izzy and Minnesota nice when it comes to legislators and government officials who are refusing to get their job done and stop this.
Right. You know, like last spring when this was really hot on the table, you know, I didn't look at it as being, I knew it was big, but I didn't realize how big it was. And then after listening to Scott yesterday, it just hit me so hard. When you're in the same room with this man and listening to him, you understand that this is so incredibly big. And the things that he is sharing with the legislators and the people in the audience is quite amazing. And then I guess the thing that really just crushed me yesterday is when he testified that these funds are going to elected officials, politicians. And that's when I just almost came out of my chair.
Now, let's just do a little thinking here. Who opposed and who made the biggest noise here when that fraud was exposed back in May? Let's think for a minute. Was it Keith Ellison? Was it Keith Ellison that was making a lot of statements? We have a video of him just indignant and accusing Fox 9 of this and that. And then actually Fox 9 pretty much has thrown Jeff Billion under the bus. He did some reporting in May. He was in July at the meeting where you were also. And then he sort of disappeared, right? I mean, that was my assessment.
Not only Keith Ellison, but CARE. Remember, CARE came out and they were all outraged that we would target the Somali community, that they're the ones causing this fraud. I mean, those people went crazy.
And it just might be the piggy bank that keeps on giving. And it might be so important that Keith Ellison might have been told by the forces that have been backing him up for such a long time, you go and protect that, because that might be a huge resource for the mafia and the forces that are related to CARE and Hamas and the Brotherhood, and who knows who else. I know it sounds pretty dark to a lot of people, but this is the reality. Scott Stillman did not step forward for nothing. He's risking his life because there's vitally important information to be shared, and this fraud is costing lives. It's not just costing, it's costing money to the taxpayer, but it's costing lives as well.
Right. After listening to Scott, I have no doubt in my mind that he is absolutely telling the truth about everything. He implicated that there was politicians at the federal level and state level who are benefiting from this fraud.
And from what I understand from you is that he also actually alerted the federal authorities, like he wrote to Jeff Sessions, and nothing happened there.
Right.
As
the first people he went to was the Minnesota FBI and Jeff Sessions, and there was no response from them.
What are your thoughts on the upcoming session? You want to talk a little bit more about that? Do you see the DHS scandal as pretty central to like how things should be tackled as far as from an activist standpoint?
I just want to say, you know, I think I'm not going to give the our lawmakers too much credit, because I don't know that they deserve it. But if I was running for re-election, I would have talked about this fraud nonstop. And I think anyone who would have carried this topic probably would have been re-elected. And had you talked about this, you probably would have finished even better. If you won, you might have finished even better. But to let something like this go, I think, was a huge mistake for anyone running for office. And moving forward, this session, I am going to be down there, and I'm going to be after these lawmakers. Anyone who signed on to this House File 4519, I'm going to be after those people. I'm going to put so much pressure on them. And I'm encouraging anyone to put pressure on their own legislator, even if they're not on here, that they must come forward and end this program. There's zero integrity in the CCAP program, and it has to stop. And you know, Carolyn Hamm is suggesting, you know, they do something maybe electronic. And you know what? It's not going to work. If people want to commit a crime, they will do it. They will find a way to work through this system, especially anything that's run by the government. There's always fraud and there's always corruption. There's just too many hands in the pot and there's no control. So I really want people to become active on this item. We have to shut the program down, and people need to start calling, emailing, showing up, and just run with this. Because I really do think this is something that we could end this program if enough people came forward.
Okay, that's great. So people can get in touch with you, and you know, if they want to get more information or if they want to help, just give them some tools and some guidance on what they need to do with their own representatives. One of the questions that I have is in regards to this May 15th, there was proposed child care fraud prevention legislation, and it seems like the core issue of the proposed legislation was to allow the Department of Human Services to use immediate temporary suspensions to close child care providers that do not fully cooperate with investigators if they're suspected of fraud. So this was back in May, and it came from the office of Representative Matt Dean. Did you hear anything about this bill? And because it sounds kind of like what you're saying, just shut it down, just stop the funds, and so the fraud can stop. Who has the power to do that, after all?
Well, I didn't remember that until you just showed it to me. This is my take on that. If I'm not mistaken, the DHS already had the authority to do that. If they suspected fraud, they could shut down a child care center immediately. I'm pretty sure that is already out there. And the other thing too is I was on this fake rage, because you could, when this story broke, all these legislators came forward, House reps and senators came forward, and they had all this, you know, fake rage about what was going on and how could this happen, or fake outrage is what I was calling it. And I was disgusted by that, because this has been going on for years. The legislative auditor also made that very clear, that this has been going on for years. All of these people know. They knew and they know that this is happening, but yet they do nothing about it. And so for them to propose legislation on the final hour of the session, to me, is just optics. It's not really doing anything. And I will give Matt Dean some credit. He was there yesterday watching, you know, in the gallery. He was watching this. So, you know, I'll give him some credit for that. But, you know, he ran that subcommittee for I don't know how many years. And what did he do about this? He didn't do anything. So I'm holding all of these Republicans and Democrats responsible for all of this, that they continue to take my money and push it into these fraudulent programs. And there's just no excuse for that. That's why I call it fake outrage. You know, you can put the optics out there, but if you're smart, you can see right through that.
It also sounds to me from, you know, going back in July when I first, I mean, I've heard about it. I knew about it already back in May, but going back to July when you went to this meeting at the DHS when there was a protest, and throughout this time, it sounds like there's like back and forth, like the legislators say, well, the DHS needs to do this. And the DHS says, no, the legislators don't give us enough. So it's this back and forth that kind of leaves us all with our like, okay, this is the best you can do, you know? Yes. And at the end of the day, the fraud keeps going, and the, you know,
Well, I was told by a legislator the only way that I could get this, because I was demanding that this program be shut down. I was told the only way that I could get this program shut down is for childcare providers to come forward and say, shut the program down. Well, I don't think that's right. As a taxpayer, whether or not I own a childcare center, I should be able to say, no, this is not working. You're taking my money and the money is being shipped overseas, or even if it was staying here and for all the wrong reasons, I should be able to have a voice in this as a taxpayer.
Absolutely. Yeah, I completely agree. And to put this on childcare providers, for them to have to do the dirty work of somebody else who has the power and the authority and the legal basis already to do it, why would you have to do that? Why would you have to shove it off to childcare providers like they have nothing else to do? They'll start wanting to shut it down. That just, it sounds dishonest to me, personally.
Right. Why don't you take responsibility? Right? Why doesn't the legislator take responsibility for this and
do
the right thing?
It's just so sad that Minnesota has become the stomping ground for all these, stomping ground for jihadists, stomping ground for fraud like this. It's all connected to the Somali mafia rings and gangs, and it seems like the media just does not want to talk about it. They want to cover it up. They cover up Somali crime. They cover up the Somali connection with the whole entire DHS scandal and the daycare center. And, you know, when you try to talk about it, they just come at you with like, oh, you're racist. And this has nothing to do with race. This has to do with the reality. You said you researched the child care centers, and a lot of them are Somali, actually. Is that so?
It's true. It's true. I researched Hennepin County and Ramsey, and the majority of those centers are all Somali owned. And the majority of the centers that are in violation are the Somali centers. And I looked at plenty of centers too that were not Somali owned, and those folks did not have violations.
That's incredible. Absolutely incredible. Well, Michelle, I'm so glad we're able to take some time to talk about it. I just want to encourage everybody to share this podcast with, you know, concerned citizens, get in touch with each other, get organized, and let's start putting pressure on the people who have been empowered to take care of business and people's business, and restore Minnesota back to, you know, whatever, you know, it was meant to be, and it has been, and it could be, and it should be, and it's certainly what's been going on for a long time. It seems it's nothing to do with the great promise that we have, you know, for America and for this great state that just seems to be just descending into chaos and corruption at the speed of light here. So thanks, Michelle. Appreciate you coming on. I look forward to having you on again.
Thanks, George.
Thank you.